Good morning, everyone. Another beautiful day. I thought, as you did, that we were going to get hammered, snowed in, and we'd all be under with the fireplace going, the candles, and calling one another and talking about how. But it didn't happen. Weatherman lied. Weatherman cannot be trusted. So, that said, we all had the opportunity to come out and fellowship with one another, and I thank you for making the effort, to be perfectly honest, because you know what? We have a lot of members that are not with us today because of probably that expectation of what was going to happen, some for other reasons, but let's keep them all in prayer that they might come and fellowship with us once again. You know, this morning we talked in Sunday school, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. If you can make it to Sunday school and you know you can, you should come, because there's a lot of valuable conversations that take place. That's interactive opportunity for us to be able to reason with one another. Look, I don't have all the answers. I need your help to help me, as well as however I can help you come to the knowledge of the truth in God's word. So if you have that opportunity to come to Sunday school, please do. I try to make the classes interesting. I ask some very deep questions to make us think, and it works out real well. I had a very small audience this Sunday and last Sunday as well. So, again, I want to just encourage you to come out if you can. And that's not to make anyone feel guilty, but if you do feel guilty, then you know you got something to deal with. Okay. The lesson this morning is the pathway of sin. This morning, I spent some time talking about the character of sin. Now, what's the character of sin? Character of sin, when you think about the character of something, you think about what makes it up. What is its maybe personality? What is its substance? The character of sin this morning when we talked about it, we spoke about some of the things that had to do with what sin, what makes sin sin. And we talked about sin comes from evil parentage, you know. In John chapter 8, beginning around verse 44, Jesus told the Pharisees that their father was the devil. And sin was brought in by the devil. He lied to Adam and Eve, and he caused them to take of the forbidden fruit, and we know the story, how the story goes. But he's been working throughout the ages, working to tear down us and to tear our relationship away from God. Sin is a deceiver. That's one of its characteristics. It must work deceptively. You know, from Hebrews 3:13, we exhort one another to daily, because it is called today, so that we do not get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, sin as a deceiver must appear like righteousness. When we think of sin, and this is something we mentioned this morning, is that, you know, sin is pleasurable. Otherwise, why would you do it? It's something that is designed to make you want to do something to satisfy one of the evil tendencies of mankind. You know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, the three sins that Jesus had to rebuke Satan on as an example. Sin is a thief. Sin robs us. It robs us of confidence in God, makes us think we can do it on our own. We can do it without anyone's help. Sin makes us think that we don't need good companions. We can go and hang out with our buddies from back in the day. Sin robs us of, ultimately, our souls. Because the wages of sin is death. And at the end of the day, sin will take us out if we allow it. Sin is a tyrant. It comes in small, it kind of creeps in, and then eventually it blossoms into, you know, full ownership of your life. It always starts with something little. It never starts with anything big. If someone told you to go out and do some major harm to somebody, you're not going to do it. You're like, you're crazy. But if they ask you a little favor to do something for them, you think, oh, it's insignificant. Just do it. Which could lead to some other thing. It could turn into something else. It could snowball into something that ultimately could end up enslaving us. I mentioned an example of this as being drinking, for example. There's nothing wrong with drinking. But when that becomes drunkenness, and when it becomes something that takes over your life, anything that takes over your life is sin. Sin is slow. It's a slow poison that creeps in like a cancer and eventually consumes the entire body. So it's important for us to recognize the character of sin, and we know what it is, but then what is the pathway that sin uses to neutralize our power in our lives? What's the pathway of sin? And as you were read, James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 gives us one illustration. James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." You know, in 2 Timothy 4:8, it also speaks of that crown of life for all of us who love the coming of his appearance. So there's a crown that we got waiting for us. It's just waiting. It's got our name on it, each individual name that is waiting for us, and it's ours for the taking if we endure temptation. Likewise, let no man, in verse 13, say that when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God," for God is not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt any man. You know, in Psalms 50, 10 through 11, God's resources are unlimited. There's nothing to tempt God with. He's God. So he doesn't go and tempt any man because he doesn't need to. Will we be tested? Absolutely. We're going to be tested. But testing, when you test something, you improve its temperance. You improve its strength, its ability. And that's something that we all need constantly. So what we might call a temptation could be a test. We need to be aware of that. As Christians, we are uniquely aware of the difference. And so we want to try and make sure that we pass any tests that come our way, but do not succumb to any temptation that might come along. In verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own sinful desires, and is enticed. Ultimately, what that means is just like it sounds. You know what? We all want things. We all want certain things to happen in our lives. We want them to happen when we want them to happen and how we want them to happen. And we sometimes get a little impatient and we want them to happen quicker than God wants it to happen for us. So what do? We kind of push the buttons. We try to open doors that may be locked. We may try to do some things that will push our personal agenda forward. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But it can become easily a bad thing when what we want is really not what God wants for us. And we can tell when that can happen most of the time. So, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We all will continue to have slip-ups in our lives. That's not the subject that I'm talking about. I'm talking about that kind of where we go to the next level. It's where sin happens and then it continues to happen, the same sin, all the time, every day, and now it's trapped us. That's the challenge, and that's where we can run into problems. We need our Father to help us in times of temptation, no doubt. We need to overcome sin so that our Father in heaven can be glorified, because that is the purpose of overcoming those temptations, is so that God can be glorified. Praise God when we overcome them temptations. I didn't do it today. Praise God. And after a while, those temptations are no longer temptations. They don't exist. Why? Because you know what? I'm over it, we say. I don't have to worry about that temptation anymore. Then Satan, of course, sends you another one. He'll send something different. You know, and one of the things that we need to realize is that, you know what? Guess what? Satan knows you more than you know yourself. You know why? He's been doing it since the beginning. So he knows all your weaknesses. So he's going to tickle you here. He's going to tickle you there. He's going to do everything possible to trip you up. You just got to know when it's going to happen. And as children of God, we have his protection, the Lord's protection, to know and to distinguish. You can see when something's going to happen. And you can almost predict what the outcome is going to be. The question is are you going to make the right decision when that comes along? And that's something that we all want to try and do. So some key questions that we need to ask ourselves. First of all, what is sin? We know what sin is. It is a transgression against the law of God. Temptation, a desire which is forbidden. So what is temptation? It's a desire that's forbidden. Well, what exactly is forbidden? It's something that we want to do that we shouldn't do because it does not glorify God. What does it mean to endure that temptation? Well, I just talked about that. It means the glorification of God at the end of the day, and this is what we want to do. When, James is certainly, the context employed in James is certainly of the evil variety because it enforces it in verse 2, referring to diverse temptations, it says in the King James, and relates it to sin in that context. So enduring temptation means simply to resist it. You know when you're tempted to eat that chocolate cake, Dave, don't you touch it. Because you know that it's going to affect your sugar, and you don't need to do that to yourself. That's temptation too. It's not just the temptation stuff that's obvious where, you know, oh, I need money, I'm going to go rob a bank. No. No, that's not temptation. Temptation are those things that you want to have that you shouldn't. And you know you shouldn't because doctor said so. Because your brother or sister in Christ said so. Take, for example, a more serious instance of recovering alcoholism. You don't get that little bottle. You don't have that glass of wine with dinner. You don't do it because you know it's a temptation. It's going to cause you to want more, which will lead you into a trap. These are the things that we deal with each and every day. We'll deal with this the rest of our lives, folks. It's going to happen every day. We'll be tempted with something. And we'll have to resist it. Are all temptations of the flesh? No. Some temptations are of the spirit. In fact, the most important temptations are of the spirit. It's not about just feeling good. People who have problems with drugs and alcohol have temptations of the flesh. But there's a deeper psychological temptation of the spirit to take that person and consume them in a way that will ultimately take their lives. Spiritual temptation. For example, another would be going to, oh, you know what? Our singing is terrible. I want to go to a church where the singing is fun and exciting, and they got a band. That's spiritual temptation because we want to have things that are pleasing to the ears. We want to be entertained. This is why some people decide to go to other churches that are more, quote unquote, enjoyable, so to speak, because they're looking for entertainment. They're not looking to worship God, which is why we're here. They're looking to be entertained. That's the reality, and we all know it. It happens. So can denial of a temptation result in sin? Oh, well, how about that? Well, maybe it can. You know how? You know what? You see something wrong. You see with your own eyes, you hear with your own ears, and you see something happen that's happening before you, and you do nothing. You do nothing. And allow a travesty to take place can result in sin on your part. Because you could have done something. You could have said something. You could have said, hey, wait a minute, hold it, don't do that. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Why would you want to do that to someone else? This is where sin can become a problem for us when we don't take on that responsibility. And then finally, can you sin by not taking that responsibility? Well, you certainly can. There are times when we need to take responsibility and we need to speak up, and it is that time is now. We live in a world, folks, where, you know what, we got kids that are entitled. I deserve this. I deserve your money. I deserve your car. I deserve your house. That's the way these kids think today. Adults now. Two generations, folks, we got of that. Single-parent families, because we have a situation in our society where the continuity of a husband and wife family has been corrupted. It's been changed. We even have social programs that promote it. Same thing for abortion. Travesty before God. Sorry it is. You're killing the kids. And if we don't say something, we need to say something when those things happen. So, failing to take responsibility, such as when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, can result in sin. Blaming someone else for your problems can result in sin. So, tempted of who? James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, and God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does he tempt any man. You know, as I said before, he may allow your faith to be tested. That's okay. Let it be to his glory that you succeed. He may allow you to be presented with circumstances where there's a choice between good and evil. Choose the good. It's that simple. This is not hard. We all know the difference between good and evil. Always choose the good, even when it's unpopular to do so. God places nothing before any human being with a view to induce him to do wrong. God never does that. A lot of people will say that they were tempted and, you know, they had no way out. That's not true. God always gives them an opportunity to find a way out. It is a grave failure to not take responsibility and then on top of that to blame God. That's a grave failure. Big mistake. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires. You know, this is one of the most positive and unambiguous of all the declarations of the Bible. And one of the most important is one that stands in opposition to as many feelings of the human heart as perhaps any other one. You know, temptation is a real problem. And it's a pathway to sin. It's where sin begins, with temptation. And with that temptation, we find ourselves, something little turns into something else, and it snowballs into something larger. And then it's out of our control. And then we don't have a handle on it. And now we're feeling like, oh, what happened? The beautiful thing is that, you know what? We got God. We got his saving grace, his blood, which covers us, that we can change course anytime. We can decide to say, you know what? I don't quite feel how this is going. I think I'm going to change course. And that is the beauty of what we have in Christ. The world doesn't have that. They can't do that. They don't know how to do that. People don't out in the world don't just change course at random because it's just the right thing to do. You may have an occasional instance of something like that happening, but that's not the norm. The norm is for us to be doing that, changing course when we need to. The pathway to sin, 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, is that not the time we live in today? But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to hear what I want to hear because it makes me feel good so that I can go do what I want to do and not feel guilty about doing it. Itching ears. Oh, you said something that pricks my heart. I can't listen to that. I got to go. The time will come. That time's right now. Right now. Those of you that have kids that are of age that you can reason with to some extent, you're dealing with that already. They want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what you, they want to hear the truth, what you got to say. They want to hear what they want to hear so that they already think they know everything, but they want to hear what they want to hear. That's the world we live in. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Scoffers. A scoffer is someone who mocks, someone who makes fun of, someone who says, oh, you're a Christian? Really? You believe that stuff? There are people out there like that today. They'll do that now. Any scientist that believes in the whole evolutionary dogma, we know we can debunk that in a heartbeat. If you want to have a serious conversation about that, we can certainly have that conversation, Mr. PhD. A lot of assumptions behind all of that that you should know as members of the body of Christ. When you go to deal with some of these people that are so-called smart, there are some simple questions you can ask to throw them completely off the rails. I'd be more than happy to give you some of those questions. There's a lot of assumptions there. But we're going to have scoffers, people that say that because you are a Christian, you're a sucker. That's what they want us, that's what they want to do. They want to bring you down and say that your beliefs are meaningless. That what you believe isn't real. That's what we're dealing with today. But you stand strong. You stay true. God did not create a world for us that we can't prove that he created. It's all around us. There's so much evidence for God's existence. It's just unprecedented. But there are people who don't want to see it, and they refuse to see it. So there will be those folks out there, you know, to stand true and stay with it. Jude 1:18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Look, if God doesn't exist, murder isn't wrong. If God doesn't exist, murder isn't wrong, neither is fornication, neither is all of those sins that are on the pathway. They're all good. Hey, man, drink as much as you want. Go out and get high if you want to. Do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Marriage, doesn't mean anything. If God doesn't exist, all that doesn't matter. But as soon as God exists, as soon as you can say, hey, look, man, I got proof of God. Check out this flower. Check out these things that are going on in the world. Check out how all this has happened. Check out the authenticity of the scriptures and how true all these things happen. This is a history book, man. More manuscripts than any other historical document, by the way. But once you prove there's a God, oh, now all of a sudden you can't act the way that you act. You can't go out and steal. You can't go out and fornicate or abuse people or steal. Or do all of those things that are counted as sins in the world. Can't do them anymore. But the world wants you to believe that God isn't there listening, but he's very much there. So the pathway to sin is to first remove God from the picture. If we can remove God from the picture, then it's a free-for-all. Who wants to live in a world like that? I don't. I wouldn't want to live in a world where it's a free-for-all, where, you know, someone could come, murder me, and take my goods and go on their happy way and not be punished for it? What is that? Come on, that doesn't even make sense. But that's what it amounts to. The Apostle Paul, wait a minute, I think I'm on the wrong slide here. The Apostle Paul spoke much about this in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, beginning around verse 18, he talks about the state of affairs in Rome at the time. I would say that those same state of affairs are today. They're trading the incorruptible God for a corruptible man. They're changing things up to make it to diminish the power of our Heavenly Father, and they're trying to make it look like it doesn't matter, that they know more. And it's all done subtle. You know, you got little kids that watch, like, nature programs. I don't know how many of you grew up watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, right? Remember when you watched those? They were great, right? Some of you are too young to have seen those, but there are others of you that I love those shows. And Marty Stauffer. Marty Stauffer would do the nature thing. I loved those shows when I was a kid growing up. And you know what? In none of those shows did they ever talk about the things like how old something was. This has been around billions of years. Or this is 5 billion years old. This is 20 billion years. There was none of that nonsense. They just talked about what they knew, what they observed. It was the animal, or it was the sequence of events of things going on in the world that they were trying to show you. That's what it was. They were great shows. Now, subtle. 50 billion years ago today, these were formed and Well, it sounds innocent enough. Sounds like, nothing. Yeah, we know they don't know what they're talking about. But that's subtle. It starts with that. Then they teach your kids that in school. And then they're going to teach your kids that in grade school, all the way through high school, to when they get to college. That's all they know. Now your kids are evolutionists. And now you're challenged with trying to coordinate the evolutionary timeline with, in the beginning, God created. Now you can't work that out. Now you're fighting the whole school district and all these people out there that are educating your kids on what life is about. That's the pathway to sin. It starts like that. Something little turns something big, something bigger. Next thing you know, now it's blown out of proportion, and now you're having to deal with it. But you got to catch it early. That's the pathway to sin. So, what is the solution in closing? Solution is be aware. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. It's an operative expression there. God is faithful. He is always there for you. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So when you say tempted, I just couldn't resist. I couldn't help it. Oh, yes, you could. Yeah, you could have said no. You could have said no. You could have did something else. You could have left the area. How about that? Yeah, you could have. With the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And you could look at Jude 1:20 and read that as a cross-reference to that. So there's always a way out. We will be tempted our entire lives. You know what? You're going to get tempted as soon as you leave this building. In some way, you'll be tempted. It's going to happen. Just expect it and be diligent. Know when it's a temptation. And then know when to deal with that and say, nah. Just say no, move on. As soon as you get out of your head, you're fine. How we handle temptation is, this is important, a matter of the truth of our heart towards God. How serious are we in our life of Christ? Are we serious enough that we can overcome any temptation? Are there some temptations we know that we're at risk of that we need to work on? Sure. We'll just work on them. But don't allow yourself to be consumed by those temptations. Satan knows how to tempt you, and he's going to tempt you. It's going to happen. Just know how to overcome that. Endure the temptation to be approved of God and get that crown of life spoken of earlier. So that crown of life is waiting. It's got your name on it. It's in gold. It looks exactly the way you would have designed it. It fits perfectly, custom made for you, everyone. Take advantage of it and endure that temptation. A few passages that I would like to encourage you to take a look at if you decide to pursue this study on your own. John 5:24, 39, 6, 27, 40, 47, 54, and 68. And then in 1 John 3, 15, 5, 11, and verse 20. Take a look at these. Think about this lesson today. Think about the reality of the realities. God gives us the ability to see things how they are, not how the world would have us see them. Always be honest with yourself and look at things the way they are. Look it in the face. You may not like it. There may be things you'll want to change about it. Just look at it how it is. Call it how you see it, and you'll be all right. Look, if you have a special need, if you have an encouragement, or if you have a need for prayer, if there's anyone I'm looking out here, and I see all of my family members, so nobody here needs to be baptized. But if there is someone out here who does need to obey the gospel of Christ in that water grave of baptism, check it out. You get to come up, you get to get in that water with a sincere heart, and you get to come out a new creature. Everything erased. New, fresh, all over again. You start over. Where else can you get an offer like that? You can't. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?